We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 811 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. It is the day of game two for the Capitals against the New York Rangers in the best of seven first round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Caps at the Rangers Tuesday night at 7. This off the Caps a 4-1 loss at the Rangers on Sunday afternoon. If you are a Caps fan like me and you want to feel optimistic for Tuesday night, consider this. Caps goaltender Charlie Lindgren, aka the Outlaw, during the 2023-2024 NHL regular season, when playing after a loss, went 13-6-3 with three shutouts. Not bad. The Caps in game two need the Outlaw to be the Outlaw. And the Caps in game two need to generate more offense. I know that that is not our Capitals' strong suit, but you're asking a lot of your goaltender to win every game 2-1-3-2. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Next segment, a very unique guest to discuss the Commanders' quarterback decision via their number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, Benjamin Robinson, the creator of Grinding the Mocks. Grinding the Mocks is a website that uses mock drafts, the wisdom of crowds, and data science to predict NFL drafts. Any mock draft on its own is only worth so much, right? But what about thousands of mock drafts put together? You perhaps are familiar with the idea of the wisdom of crowds. Well, Benjamin Robinson has arrived at a projection system for NFL drafts based not on what he or anyone else thinks about prospects as players, but on the idea of the collective we possessing a wisdom that can be quite telling. What are the mocks telling us about what the Commanders will do it to regarding LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels versus North Carolina quarterback Drake May versus Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy? Insight on that and some NFL draft theory. Next segment with Benjamin Robinson, the creator of Grinding the Mocks. And also on the show, I'll talk Orioles. They late night on Monday night won at the Los Angeles Angels a 4-2. As the legend of Albert Suarez grew some more 5 2/3 scoreless innings with 5 strikeouts, as he was good for a second time in as many starts off having not pitched in a major league regular season game since September 26, 2017. Also, the O's reportedly are promoting yet another highly touted prospect to the majors, outfielder Heston Kerstad. Before we get to some feedback, we on Monday had more intel pointing toward the Commanders this Thursday night taking Jaden Daniels with their number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. First of all, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, the man who for weeks has been saying that signs point toward the Commanders taking Daniels. This was Schefter on Monday afternoon in his latest appearance on the Pat McAfee show.
Well, here's where we're at, essentially. New England's going to listen to teams that call. The two teams in my mind that I've been able to ascertain that have been the most active calling up to number three have been the Minnesota Vikings, number one. And I think second, if we're going to quantify it, is the New York Giants. Those are the two teams that have expressed an interest in moving up to number three. Now, whether they can get up to number three is a whole other issue. Whether New England is willing to go back is a whole other issue. It's going to take a lot. And so I don't know ultimately that New England is going to move off that pick. New England may just stay right where it is. And so if you're the Vikings, and I also think, by the way, yes, I said Drake May, but I also think that in a perfect world, the Vikings would have a high degree of interest, as would other teams in Jaden Daniels. But I still think, as we talked about, that Jaden Daniels is the favorite to be number two. So if Daniels goes number two, obviously he's not going three. Yeah. If he goes to three, the price of three goes up a lot if the Commanders decide not to take that pick. But I think the Commanders, in the end, will opt for Daniels. That's my read on it.
Commanders.
And if they do, then I think we got the Vikings, who have expressed the most interest in coming up to number three. The Giants have expressed some as well. And the Patriots very likely are possible to just sit where they're at and pick from number three.
I think the last time we chatted with you, you said there's a lot of maneuvering with that number two overall pick. There you said you think Daniels goes number two. Then at the end you said you still think Commanders go with Daniels at two. That is that a interesting situation? Is that kind of cemented itself, or what do you
think? I think here's the thing. I think we saw the agent tweet about it last week, right? Not being particularly pleased that it was four quarterbacks in, that Jaden Daniels didn't have more face time with the Commanders. But the fact of the matter is this is the draft. This is not free agency. You know, Jaden Daniels is going to go where he's drafted, and he's going to be happy about it. And if it is, in fact, Washington that drafts him, then I think Jaden Daniels is going to be perfectly content to go to Washington and be the face of the franchise and take over as the quarterback of the Commanders. And that's the way I continue to think it's trending to go. Now, the Commanders have not finalized that decision. Could they change their mind? Sure. Could something happen? Sure. Could a team make a last-minute offer? Sure. Anything's possible. Draft week and things happen. But if you're asking me the most likely scenario is that the Commanders stay at two and take Jaden Daniels, in my mind.
All right. So Adam Schefter continuing to say that signs point toward the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at two. Also on the Pat McAfee show on Monday afternoon was NFL draft analyst Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and NFL.com. Now, Jeremiah had been big on the Commanders taking Drake May with their number two overall pick in the 2024 draft. But Jeremiah now is backing off of that. Take a listen.
Yeah, I always just say, you know, when you're doing these mock drafts, I try to do that with my ears and what I'm hearing, and then you rank the players as I see them and what I think there. As we, you know, certain teams you have more, there's more out there on, people around the league are talking and I'm buying it. With that one, I was like, everything in my gut was kind of saying, nah, this feels like Washington, Drake May, kind of bigger, more physical guy. It kind of fits them a little better. I had talked to people that, you know, had been discussing this with Dan Quinn and his buddies around the league. And they said, he kept talking about, I need to find my Matt Ryan. And I went to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. So that's why I was kind of hung up on, and I was sitting there going like, okay, well, that feels like Drake May. It would be kind of more that type of player. So that's why I've been thinking this whole process that Drake May, you know, fits better with Washington. And then now as you're coming down the home stretch, it's like, okay, there's too much. Like it's some point in time, it's like I can't inject my own personal opinion here. This is just overwhelming that everybody's that I talk to is saying that it's going to be Jaden. So that's why I have it there now.
Okay, so Daniel Jeremiah was previously someone who thought that the Commanders would take Drake May at two, but Jeremiah now is someone who thinks that the Commanders will take Jaden Daniels at two. And then lastly, NFL draft analyst Todd McShay. He was on the Pardon My Take podcast in an episode that came out on Monday. This was McShay on Jaden Daniels.
From just based off the tape, and then you had the mobility with Jaden, the fact that like, the improvement that he made over the last 2 years playing in a pro-style system, understanding and trusting his reads, I think he's got a chance to be special. And so when I'm done with the tape, I always try to kind of rack my board, figure out who I like, and then I start making calls. I promise you, of the dozens of calls that I've made from January to now with guys in the league, general managers, personnel directors, scouts, all over the league, there isn't one person I've spoken to that believes that Drake May should be drafted number two over Jaden Daniels. I even talked to teams going back to February, where teams were like, yeah, we're still debating between Caleb and Jaden at number one. Okay. So it was like that first tier has been for teams has always been kind of Caleb and Jaden. And then the second tier is Drake. And then the third tier is JJ McCarthy.
So Adam Schefter, Daniel Jeremiah, and Todd McShay, all with very strong stances in various ways, indicating the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels at two. Perhaps Schefter, Jeremiah, and McShay are all wrong, but perhaps they are all speaking what is about to be. Some Commanders news on Monday morning. They announced that they had released edge defender Shaka Toney, who just last Thursday was reinstated by the NFL from an indefinite suspension of at least the 2023 season for betting on NFL games in the 2022 season. So no more Shaka for Washington. Washington took Shaka in the seventh round of the 2021 NFL draft out of Penn State. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Lots of feedback on what we on Monday's show, episode 810, talked about at length with our guest, Commanders insider Ben Standing of The Athletic. All of the noise in recent days regarding Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, noise that was ignited by the behavior of Daniels' agent, Ron Butler, on X. Let's be clear, Jaden Daniels himself has not said or posted anything suggesting unhappiness with the Commanders. Email from Larry Sabbath writes, Larry, who would want someone in his or her camp to criticize a potential future employer, especially in public? If I were one of the agent's clients, I'd be shopping for a new agent. Thank you for that, Larry. I don't disagree. Email from Brian Young writes, Brian, much ado about nothing? Not so fast. Creating a bit of smoke for our beloved DC fanatics may be just the smoke from the fire that we cannot see. What else is the agent saying to Jaden behind closed doors that could affect his opinion of coming to DC? Do we have another Bobby Three Sticks agent slash daddy issue brewing? Man, I sure hope not. Thank you for that email, Brian. The key question with all of this is the following. Was the unhappiness with the group setting pre-draft visit that was expressed by Ron Butler on X him simply representing his opinion, or him representing Jaden Daniels' opinion? That's the big question. If the former was the case, then I actually kind of have sympathy for Daniels, and he may need to fire his agent. But if the latter was the case, then we have a problem, because I believe that part of the point of the Commanders doing these pre-draft visits in a group setting was to put the prospects in an unusual and even uncomfortable setting and see how the prospects reacted to the unusual and even uncomfortable setting. I believe that this was an alpha test. And so if Jaden Daniels was turned off by the group setting pre-draft visit, and that's an if, but if he was, then to me, he failed the alpha test. But it is entirely possible that Daniels was not turned off by the group setting pre-draft visit, and that Ron Butler, via his behavior on X, just went rogue. That's why what Butler did on X was so bad for Jaden Daniels. By the way, someone who follows me on X, a professor, John Harvey of Washington College in Chestertown, Maryland, he on X on Sunday evening posted a really interesting thread that has gotten a lot of attention. I read to you some of what Professor Harvey wrote. Quote, thoughts on the Commander's Top Golf gambit, innovative exercise designed to work just once. It created unique stress for top-tier quarterbacks in a way they cannot have anticipated. Next year, agents will push back against any team that tries a similar move. Commanders knew there would be pushback slash backlash. More importantly, they knew the top-ranked QB prospect, (Daniels), was likely to perceive it as disrespectful. They did it anyway. Why? For one reason only. This was all about testing Daniels, whose character they must have doubts about. Under new GM Adam Peters, the Commanders are seeking to prioritize players willing to subordinate ego to the team and its culture. They created a way to compare Penix and Daniels side by side, parentheses, as well as May and McCarthy, of course, in a stressful situation disguised as an efficient, parentheses, even fun, use of limited time. Important detail. Daniels was the only prospect that top Commanders brass, parentheses, Peters and Quinn, personally met at the airport. Why? Likely to see in real time and up close how he responded to being part of a group, not solo. There is no doubt that Peters and the Commanders gained invaluable data from this remarkably innovative exercise in that it will help them make a more informed decision. End quote. A very interesting thread from Professor Harvey. Email from Robert Schaefer at the U.S. Embassy in Warsaw, Poland. Writes Robert, Bo Daniels, Drake McCarthy, J.J. Penix, slap me thrice and hand me back to my mama. I am tapping out on the QB talk. I guess there really can be too much of a good thing. So other than drafting Jaden Nix at number two, what to expect this week? I think the unexpected. Surprise picks at receiver and linebacker, specifically linebacker. The team only has one linebacker under contract for 2025. That is a need position. A move back into round one is much more than a wish. Everyone makes the 2023 Texans wishful comp, but the Texans had something in place: offensive tackles. The Texans had spent draft capital on that position in previous years and were relatively set to properly protect their investment. Where do the Manders sit in the protection gig? It ain't pretty as it currently stands. I return stateside in May. I have to thank you, Al. The pod has been a real link home. The content, your voice, humor, and insight have been a huge boost to morale. Thank you. P.S. The draft starts at 2 a.m. Friday local time. Yes, I am an idiot and will watch. I, in the past, have passed on the second and third round selections, but not this year. Thank you very much for the email, Robert. Coming to us from Warsaw, Poland, and prepared to pull an all-nighter, or at least close to an all-nighter, to watch what the Commanders do in the 2024 draft. What a draft this is shaping up to be for our Commanders. If you are planning a big event, you do not need to pull an all-nighter to find the right catering service. Just get with Catering by Uptown. It is the best catering service in the DMV. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. If you are planning a wedding, a party, a corporate event, whatever, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Well, Catering by Uptown provides both. Catering by Uptown is a family business, and it specializes in handling everything so that you don't have to. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu, to picking linens, to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. As we are in the midst of the week of the 2024 NFL Draft, and as we continue to prepare mentally, physically, spiritually, for what the Commanders do with 6 top 100 picks in the 2024 draft, including the number 2 overall pick, I'm very pleased to welcome to the Al Galdi podcast for the first time an innovative thinker regarding NFL drafts, Benjamin Robinson. He is the creator of Grinding the Mocks, a website that uses mock drafts, the wisdom of crowds, and data science to predict NFL drafts. Grinding the Mocks has been featured by a variety of outlets, including Pro Football Focus, 538, and Football Outsiders. You can follow Benjamin on X at BenJ_Robinson, and you can follow Grinding the Mocks on X at Grinding Mocks. Hey, Benjamin, how are you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day. I'm looking forward to chat about the draft.
It's nice to have you on. Tell us, if you would, what Grinding the Mocks is about and how it came to be.
So Grinding the Mocks came from my love of the draft and my love of kind of evidence, numbers, and data analysis. I didn't grow up playing football, but I loved watching football and loved watching the draft. And I was sitting on the couch in my college friend in Pittsburgh. We were watching the draft and listening to people talk about the draft and kind of thinking, you know, how much of this is legitimate? How much of this is kind of BS? We don't know. And how would we know? How would we think about figuring out where players would be expected to go in the draft? And we thought, you know, mock drafts, I think, have like some interesting, you know, information in them. I wonder if I analyze them, what I would find. And what I found is really intriguing. And that's kind of the story of that's led me down this road of doing this work now for this is my 6th draft.
How do you determine which mock drafts go into the projections by Grinding the Mocks?
So, I start collecting mock drafts basically when the draft from the prior year ends. So I've been collecting mock drafts ever since, you know, April of last year. So when you do that, you end up with something around 2,000 or so mock drafts at the end of the cycle. And so for the most part, I'm looking at people who are making consistent predictions, people who are making kind of many predictions throughout the year, stuff that I can consistently find online. And so it's really, I'm sourced from all over the internet because I'm a big believer that everyone's opinion matters, including the expert opinions. But I don't think everybody's opinion should be weighted the same. And so one of the really important pieces of my model is, weighting how accurate certain analysts have been over the years. And now that I have 6 years of data, I have a nice sample size to look at, you know, whose opinions you should be weighting up, whose opinions you should be weighting down, and then whose opinions you should just kind of be keeping as it is. So that's, you know, one really important factor. But the other main important factor, and that's kind of why we are where we are right now, is the, you know, when information is published. You know, the information this week is weighted much higher in my models than in information from even a month ago, just because the information we have right now about the draft is about as rich as it can be. And so up until draft day, we're getting more and more information about what we think will happen. And it's a really exciting time.
It is. Whose mock drafts do you value the most?
When I talk about, you know, people who you should listen to, there's some kind of names that you probably would recognize. Dane Brugler from The Athletic. You know, I have him weighted pretty high. I'm a big fan of Lance Zierlein from NFL Network. I'm also a big fan of Charles Davis from NFL Network. I really like Michael Middlehurst Schwartz from USA Today. And then I'll throw one more in here. It's the kind of five that I, or my top five in my accuracy numbers. Walter Cherepinski from Walter Football, who is kind of known as having like a, well, he used to have this really out of date website. He still looks a little bit out of date. I don't read a lot of his opinions, but he's proven to be really well sourced over the years. And so that's just, it goes to show, you'd think, you know, this person who kind of seems a little absurd or whatever. But you know, if you look at the numbers, they can be very well sourced. And so you should be looking at the numbers to guide how you think about weighting these people's opinions based on past performance, thinking about what matters instead of what it looks like.
Are the projections on grinding the mocks based solely on mock drafts, or is there other data that you input?
Right now, it's solely based on mock drafts. I have begun contemplating including like player rankings, like big boards. They tend to be pretty correlated with mock drafts because I think people who are ranking players kind of do want to try to mirror the draft as much as possible, just because for the most part, the NFL is smarter at evaluating players than anybody. So you kind of want to use that as like your North Star. Like, you don't want to be ranking somebody too high from like where they get drafted or where you think they'll get drafted, just because there is wisdom in that. But you know, for me, my goal is to try to not get players exactly right all the time. I do want to try to get players exactly right high up in the draft where the kind of meaning is like really important. But at the end of the day, my goal is to kind of get like kind of what we call like on the whole, basically. You know, I want to be getting close to or around where players are getting drafted, not necessarily always right on.
And all of this is predicated on the phenomenon of the wisdom of crowds, which is such an interesting phenomenon. I'm sure that many people know what the wisdom of crowds is, but for those who don't, how would you explain the wisdom of crowds?
So the wisdom of crowds is a concept that's actually very old in human history. It goes all the way back to a competition, this is kind of the earliest story, a competition that was held to determine the weight of a cow. And the idea was that everybody kind of takes their independent thought process, applies it to the problem, and gives an answer. And usually what happens is that all of us use different kind of mental models or mental kind of thought processes of how we come to think about answering these questions and making these predictions. And the idea is that all of us have little pieces of information that are right, but alone wouldn't necessarily be correct. But when combined with others, you get closer to the actual guess by combining the power of all of our different thought processes and ideas and predictions together. Now, the NFL draft doesn't always work like that, because I think a lot of people aren't actually very original in their thought processes, and they tend to follow opinion leaders' ideas, and you see that often. For example, in that 2021 draft with Mac Jones, a lot of people were following the leaders of thought opinion and thinking that the 49ers would draft him when that was not anywhere near the case, and it was a smokescreen. And I think that might be something that we might be seeing a little bit this year with, Jaden Daniels and Drake May, possibly. But at the end of the day, more often than not, you want to be kind of taking an aggregation of multiple people's opinions, because they're more likely to be correct than any one individual's opinion over time.
Well, you provided a very nice segue to get us to discuss what Grinding the Mocks is saying about the Commanders with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft. The basis for the projections on Grinding the Mocks is expected draft position, or EDP. Per EDP, Grinding the Mocks, as we speak, has USC quarterback Caleb Williams going number 1 with an EDP of 1.1. LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels going number 2 with an EDP of 2. North Carolina quarterback Drake May going number 3 with an EDP of 4.1. Ohio State receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. going number 4 with an EDP of 4.2. And Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy going number 5 with an EDP of 6.4. What jumps out to you in terms of the Commanders quarterback decision at number 2?
to me, the thing that's really interesting is that even after the season, college football season was over, it was really, you know, Williams and May. And over time, Daniels has overtaken May in the eyes of the draft community. And I think it's really close. You know, and to me, when I see that type of thing happen, I tend to kind of lean back on my priors and think, you know, what has really changed? Has Drake May changed his opinion of him, changed in the eyes of evaluators? And I tend to think not really. And so to me, that's kind of where I think they will go. And I also think people have kind of assumed a lot about them, that like, oh, we assume that they like Jaden Daniels. I assume they like Jaden Daniels too. I think it'll be very close. I don't think it's as set in stone. And it's probably one of the more interesting decision points in the draft. But, you know, I think to me, if I had to guess, I would say Drake May, but I've also been wrong a bunch before. And so we'll see what my rankings say at the end of the day. I would not be surprised if my rankings said, you know, Jaden Daniels holds it too. Last year, there was a lot of kind of intrigue about quarterback in the top two, and people really overthought, you know, CJ Stroud when, you know, they really kind of were kind of a little, it was a lot, I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but there was a lot of kind of negging of his stock and his evaluation. I'm seeing that a little bit with May, where people are kind of sour on him a little bit. There might be some like prospect fatigue. But yeah, I think, you know, he's the kind of guy that the Commanders should be going after. Young, talented, has a lot of potential. And so, you know, the kind of quarterback that they should have gone after when they, you know, drafted Chase Young in 2020. It kind of gives them a chance to get that kind of really high upside signal caller to push the team into this new era of the franchise.
I agree with you on Drake May. I want the Commanders to take May, but grinding the mocks via expected draft position does have a sizable gap between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Daniels' EDP is 2, May's EDP is 4.1, but you expect the Commanders to take May at 2.
Yeah, that's my guess, just based on kind of my intuition. You know, the numbers can change a little bit, and I'll be updating them every day on the site. You know, I don't know. I would have to see some big news change in my mind in order to get people to come off of Jaden Daniels at 2 and onto May. So we'll see what happens. But my sense is that those numbers will hold on my site, but they could be wrong. You know, it's not totally, kind of unforeseeable. You know, 2 drafts ago when there was this discussion between Trayvon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson, it didn't break until very, very late that Trayvon Walker was going to be the number one pick. So we could see some kind of intrigue a little bit, maybe less about that since it's not the number one pick, but it is the next pick in that draft. And so, I could see there be some late breaking news, but I'm not sure. I think we might go into kind of draft day in a similar spot where we are now. But, my thing with the draft is that it's always more unpredictable than we think. And so my numbers are not going to be 100% right, but that's not the point of what I do. The point of what I do is to be close to being right. And so even if I switch Jaden Daniels and Drake May around in the data, I'm fine with that. That's happened to me before in 2018 with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And so it's not unheard of for kind of there to be some last minute kind of news that breaks that won't appear in mock drafts that could, you know, point and break Drake May's way. But I don't expect that to happen. I expect Jaden Daniels to still hold it too. But it wouldn't surprise me. And I would, if I was making a mock draft, you know, I would have Drake May at number 2 because I think it's kind of being underrated.
We're talking with Benjamin Robinson, the creator of Grinding the Mocks. Does your analysis of the mock drafts have the Commanders quarterback decision with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft as Jaden Daniels versus Drake May, or more Daniels versus May versus JJ McCarthy?
My analysis of the data historically has shown that overall, I don't really view McCarthy in the conversation for pick 2. More likely than not, his stock is probably being overrated. We tend to overrate the stock of quarterback. There's usually, you know, a max that a draft class will have in the first round of like 4 quarterbacks. That's a lot historically for quarterbacks. And McCarthy is that 4th guy. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see him outside of the top 5, but still in the top 10. Like, I don't think there will be 4 quarterbacks that go in a row. I don't think there'll be 4 quarterbacks in the top 5 even. unless there's some sort of like trade machinations, and we don't know if that's going to happen. There could be, you know, there's rumors about Minnesota wanting to trade up, who they trade up with, whether they trade up at all. I don't know. It seems like they're gearing toward that, but there's just a lot of uncertainty. We don't know where that trade is going to happen. So, but to me, I view McCarthy as a top 10 pick, and I view Bo Nix and I view Michael Penix as more like second rounders. But yeah, the data just supports that we often over mock quarterbacks. So we tend to rate them higher than they actually go in the draft a lot. And so to me, it wouldn't surprise me if McCarthy goes somewhere in the top 10, because I think he's a good prospect and he has a lot of value and he's young, has been successful in college and has some good, comes from a good background in terms of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. But, you know, I don't see him in the top five.
Getting away from the quarterbacks, and you alluded to this earlier, and I'm going to present you with a very open-ended question, but where and how do NFL teams go wrong in the NFL draft?
So I think they usually go wrong by, I think, deviating, and this is just a little, maybe a little selfish here, but I think they tend to deviate from the consensus a lot. It's okay to deviate a little bit, and it can even, you know, make sense, but if you as a process end up with a process as a team that will consistently lead you to pick players much earlier than where they're expected to go, what you're saying is that your valuation of players is better than the rest of the league every single time. And you see it with a lot of teams where if you make this kind of a hallmark of your process, unless you have a kind of different way of thinking about football, like if, unless you're like basically the 49ers or the Rams, it leads you to have like a really handcuffed roster because you're constantly going to be overdrafting players, basically. So you see this with teams that have had a lot of change in leadership, like the New England Patriots, where, you know, Tom Brady keeps them afloat. And, you know, the league eventually, you know, eventually when, you know, Belichick kind of loses Brady, the floor falls out from under the team really at a certain point because he keeps drafting players much, much earlier than expected. You see it with the, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, and they have rosters that have lots of problems. And so if you basically draft underachievers over and over and over again, i.e. players that are going to draft it a lot earlier than we expect them to, you're saying that your evaluation is that much better than the rest of the leagues over and over and over again. And what it does is it kind of adds up ultimately to the point where your roster can't really support it. And so I think you kind of can end up in that way a little bit. You see that a little bit, not to like as big of an extent as with the other teams I mentioned with the Commanders, when, you know, they draft guys like Jamin Davis a lot earlier than expected. And he's had a rough career. So, and then, you know, you draft players like Antonio Gibson and Brian Robinson. Those things, maybe not as much at the running back position, but at other positions can really stack up. And then you end up with this kind of roster that is, you know, wasting high amounts of draft capital on players that are more likely than not to underperform.
There are many NFL draft trade value charts. Which one, in your opinion, is the best?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, to me, the Fitzgerald Spielberger chart is probably my favorite. I'm a big fan of Brad Spielberger and Jason Fitzgerald. So Jason Fitzgerald runs the venerable salary cap website Over the Cap. Brad Spielberger used to be at Pro Football Focus and now works at an agency. But they wrote a really great book called The Drafting Stage, the kind of, you know, because they work in the world of the salary cap, they're really interested in using financial markets to value that type of thing. And so they have a chart, this Fitzgerald Spielberger chart, that uses kind of the historical contract values for players that are drafted at different slots to come up with the value for those things. And I'm a big fan. I was an econ major in college of using markets to kind of value that type of stuff. The Jerry Jones, like the Cowboys trade chart, like the Jerry Johnson chart, sorry. You know, that one's pretty outdated. I know it's kind of what most teams use just because it has a lot of history. But I think most smart teams will use some of those picks, but then also kind of look at their own internal valuations. And I think that the Fitzgerald Spielberger chart is about as good as any there are. I don't have one that I use myself. I use that like kind of very simplified one, but if I was going to pick one, I would pick Fitzgerald Spielberger.
Final question, another draft theory question. Would you say that most NFL teams overvalue, undervalue, or properly value draft picks?
I think it varies. I think most teams value them pretty highly. It depends on where you are in the life cycle of your team. you know, people think that, you know, like, for example, the Rams didn't value draft picks because they didn't have a first round pick, you know, since like 2016. They valued draft picks in different ways. So, for example, the Rams ended up with a lot more later round picks and just were kind of hoping that on volume, they would end up finding guys, even though there's like lower hit rates in terms of picks lower in the draft. And they were able to find those because they had a lot more picks. So I think that for the most part, it does depend on your kind of incentive structure. So, you know, if you are a team like the Bears under, you know, the old GM, the last year they drafted Fields, right? You know, he had an incentive to trade a lot of draft picks because the future value of them wouldn't matter if he didn't hit on a quarterback. And so I think it's really interesting to look at teams that have like a long track record. So like guys that have been there for a long time, and you see a more sustainable process. So you see, like, for example, in Baltimore, they value draft picks a lot. They value future draft picks a lot. And so I'm really interested to see in this draft which teams decide that trading up is the right move to do. There's been a big kind of narrative that I've heard from people that this draft is not a deep draft. And so teams are going to want to trade up to get players because the pool of good players is going to, you know, fall and dry out fast. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how people react to that, because I think that's really kind of the wrong way to look at the draft, because we often tend to overrate our ability to evaluate these things that happen in the future. And so if, you know, potentially next year's class could be worse than this year's class, we just think it'll be better. And so teams, I think often you'll see what teams are in kind of dire straits based on incentives. I think most people value draft picks unless they're about to be fired. And then you're trying to like get as many superstars as you can. And those superstars are more likely to be found in the top of the draft than they are in the later parts of the draft. But I think most teams that have a solid longer term view value draft picks highly. And that's something that if I was a Commanders fan, I would be really excited about with this current regime, because I think they have a more forward thinking view of and longer term view of the future. And that's what's really exciting about bringing in a really good coach with experience like Dan Quinn and bringing in a really strong evaluator like Adam Peters at the same time. You put them on the same timeline, just like, you know, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, and say, you know, we're putting you on the same timeline. So there's not some weird incentive for one person to kind of make choices at the, you know, expense of the other. And we go forward together with a shared vision for what the future is. And so, you know, I expect this to be a really foundational draft for what the Commanders look like over the next 3 or 4 years because of how many picks they have in that top 100. And they could end up with more picks. You know, they have a really strong, person in the front office, Eugene Shen, who, you know, has worked in Baltimore and worked in Miami and worked in Jacksonville, has really, really good reputation in the league advising Adam Peters and advising Josh Harris on the right things to do. And so if I was a Commanders fan, I'd be pretty pleased with how the franchise is going, but there's a lot, that they need to prove it. And then this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they're going to have a lot on their table to prove what the next team is, the future team of the Commanders is going to look like.
No question. This 2024 draft is a massive draft for the Commanders. I believe it is the most important NFL draft in franchise history. Benjamin Robinson, the creator of Grinding the Mocks. Benjamin, thank you and continued success.
Thank you so much.
All right, Benjamin Robinson, Grinding the Mocks, always grinding on Instagram, is at WSH on the daily. If you are a Commanders fan and you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the daily. WSH on the daily just started in 2021, yet has nearly 27,000 followers. The page is growing at a rapid rate, and the page is what its title suggests, daily. The page is updated every day. News, notes, reports, photos, graphics, all having to do with the Commanders. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information. Doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you are on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily. And check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content. Check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Well, the good times continue for the Orioles. Monday during the day, third baseman slash second baseman Jordan Westberg was named American League Player of the Week, giving the O's that award for a second consecutive week as outfielder Colton Cowser won the award the previous week. First time since September 1981 that the O's won back-to-back American League Player of the Week awards. First baseman Eddie Murray won back-to-back American League Player of the Week awards in September 1981. So we had that during the day on Monday, and then late night on Monday night, we had another Orioles win, a 4-2 win at the Los Angeles Angels in game one of a three-game series, as the O's, Joe Angel, via this win at the Angels, were again in the win column.
And the Orioles again in the win column.
Yes, Joe, the win column. The O's now have won 10 of their last 13 games. And for this 2024 MLB regular season now are 15-7. That is the second best record in the American League. Albert Suarez, he late night on Monday night was good for a second time in his many starts. The O's last Wednesday morning announced having selected the contract of Suarez from AAA Norfolk. He and the Orioles' 4-2 walk-off win over the Minnesota Twins at Oriole Park at Camden Yards last Wednesday afternoon pitched in a Major League regular season game for the first time since September 26, 2017, and he did well. He tossed 5 2/3 scoreless innings. Well, Suarez, in this 4-2 win at the Angels late night on Monday night, again tossed 5 2/3 scoreless innings. 5 2/3 scoreless innings with 5 strikeouts. He gave up just 4 hits, which were a double and 3 singles. He issued 2 walks. He threw 89 pitches, 52 strikes versus 37 balls. So the O's last September signed Albert Suarez to a minor league contract. This season is his age 34 season. What a nice story he is becoming. This was O's manager Brandon Hyde during his postgame session with reporters late night on Monday night on Albert Suarez.
A little bit of what he did last time for me, but I thought he made some nice adjustments in game. I thought him and McCann worked really well together. They started throwing a lot more changeups and cutters. They couldn't just sit fastball on him. He had a good fastball again, kind of established it early, but then I thought he did a great job of mixing really after the first time through the order. So once again, he gives us a great start.
Yes, he does. Now, the O's won at the Angels 4-2 late night on Monday night, despite another shaky game for the bullpen, which lately has not been good. 4 Orioles relievers combined to allow 2 runs in 3 2/3 innings. Mike Bauman was charged with 2 runs in 1/3 of an inning. He faced 4 batters, but got just 1 out. Yadier Cano officially tossed 1 2/3 scoreless innings, although he gave up a 2-out RBI single in the bottom of the 7th to cut the Orioles' lead to 4-2. Jacob Webb faced 1 batter and got one out. And Craig Kimbrell tossed a scoreless bottom of the ninth for the save, despite issuing a hit-by-pitch and a walk and giving up a single. But the save was the 423rd regular season save of his major league career, moving him past Billy Wagner for number 7 in MLB history in career regular season saves. Here was Brandon Hyde during his post-game session with reporters late night on Monday night on Craig Kimbrell's save, and then you'll hear a follow-up exchange on the state of the Orioles bullpen.
There's definitely the heartbeat you want on the mound. I mean, he's just so in control. Obviously been there a lot of times, and you know, that situation there would get away from a lot of guys, but he was totally in command and under control and made huge pitches when he needed to.
With the bullpen right now, are you kind of just trying a lot of different combinations to see what works at the moment?
I am. Yeah, we got a little 6th-7th inning thing. We have confidence in those guys. They're just a little bit inconsistent right now, and so with Danny down today and kind of mostly a right-handed lineup anyways and a right-handed bench, we're going to continue to give those right-handed guys opportunities. I can't pitch Cano 5 outs every single night. It's just not not fair. And so we got to figure out a way to shorten the game a little bit.
Yeah, not many nits to pick with the O's right now, but the bullpen is a concern. The O's in this game were mixed offensively. They scored 4 runs, totaled just 6 hits, went just 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position, but 4 of the Orioles' 6 hits were extra base hits, as the O's had 2 home runs, a triple, and a double to go with 2 singles, and the O's did draw 4 walks. Colton Kowser, the milkman, another home run. He is the Orioles' starting left fielder and number 8 batter, went 1-for-4 with a solo homer. Kowser aided Orioles 1-run 7th, had a one-out solo homer to center field for a 4-0 Orioles lead. Colton Kowser for this regular season now is tied for the team lead with 6 home runs and now has a slugging percentage of 800. He has been outstanding. James McCann, he is the Orioles starting catcher and number 7 batter, went 1-for-4 with a solo homer. McCann aided Orioles 1-run 2nd, had a 2-out solo homer to left field for a 1-0 Orioles lead. And Adley Rutschman, he is the Orioles starting DH and number 2 batter, went 2-for-4 with an RBI double and an RBI single. Rutschman ended Orioles 1-run 5th, had a 2-out first pitch RBI double to deep left center field for a 3-0 Orioles lead. And there's also this. So the O's on Monday night announced having placed outfielder Austin Hayes on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to April 21st, with a left calf strain. And the O's, per multiple reports on Monday night, are planning on promoting outfielder Heston Kerstad to the majors. Heston Kerstad, yet another highly touted Orioles prospect. We saw him at the major league level some last season. This season is his age at 25 season. The O's took Kerstad with the number 2 overall pick in the 2020 MLB draft out of the University of Arkansas. He is the number 29 prospect in baseball per MLB Pipeline, and he this season has been killing it for AAA Norfolk, OPS of 1,175. Game 2 for the O's at the Angels late night on Tuesday night at 9:38. Grayson Rodriguez will be the Orioles starting pitcher. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi Podcast at yahoo.com. Wednesday show, episode 812, will include a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Wednesday show, I'll talk Capitals, Nationals, and Orioles. The Caps are at the New York Rangers Tuesday night at 7 for game 2 of that best of 7 first round series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Caps lost at the Rangers in game 1, 4-1 on Sunday afternoon. The Nats are home to the Los Angeles Dodgers a Tuesday evening at 6:45 for game 1 of a 3-game series, and the O's are at the Los Angeles Angels late night on Tuesday night at 9:38 for game 2 of a 3-game series. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
I promise you, of the dozens of calls that I've made from January to now with guys in the league, general managers, personnel directors, scouts, all over the league, there isn't one person I've spoken to that believes that Drake May should be drafted number two over Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I even talked to teams going back to February, where teams were like, yeah, we're still debating between Caleb and Jaden at number one.